Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. We are on point and here for you, spending the next many weeks giving you practical, usable things for your art of homemaking, for your very own art of homemaking, not ours, but yours. Today, we are looking at the home as sanctuary. What does it mean for us to rest? What does it mean for our home to be a restful place for us? And also, how can it be a place of productivity? How can it be a place that's beautiful and our very own style? What does that mean to our families? Should our decorating reflect us? Does it matter? That is what we are doing today. How are you, Shay Elliott?
I'm doing good. I love this topic because, look, we got into meal planning last week, which is personal, very personal. When you get into home as a sanctuary,
even more so.
Ooh, I mean, this is the nitty gritty of you, your home, your sanctuary. I think it's a cool topic because all of us are going to interpret it so differently.
We didn't even introduce ourselves last week. I am Angela Reed of the Old World Design Society and Parisian Farm Girl. Shay Elliott, we're the co-hosts of this show. I do this topic of home being the sanctuary. I think we forget that we don't have to go to a hotel. We don't have to go to a tropical island. This should be the most nurturing place for us.
And I think that's where you really do need to start, is that this is home, right? This is a place that you're going to be all the time. And I'm not saying your home needs to be like a hotel, but wherever it is that you find yourself, the basement of your parents' house, your first apartment, a starter home, your forever home, who knows? Whatever it is, you actually have to build it. We actually have to put the work in to build our home as a sanctuary. And I think we sort of go into this concept with the idea that home is just where we get to be a sluggard. I get to lounge around in my pajamas and just watch television all day. So I got to make sure I have a big couch and a big screen TV and all the snacks I like to have. That's not quite what we're getting at. That's not quite the heart of the matter. And it involves work, building an oasis from the world, a place of safety and of nourishment. That actually takes effort. So this isn't where you just get to shut all systems down and lounge around. This takes active work.
Yeah, I think the work at the beginning is what is a sanctuary to you? What is a refuge? For some people, it's going to be, you know, a lot of being surrounded by a lot of beautiful things. For others, maybe they've got a very high-stress job in a very stimulating environment, and maybe a simple sofa and a television and a lamp and a good stack of books, that is sanctuary. It's pared down simplicity so their mind can relax at home. So everybody's mind relaxes for different reasons, or like visually, they're given permission to relax differently. So for some, that's going to be a very neutral palette and a very simple layout. For others, I relax by seeing beautiful things, and I want a lot of them, you know? So
you do?
I do.
But I think regardless of any of that, the first point is to acknowledge that we need a reprieve.
Yes.
We need to create a space where we live that feels restful and safe from the world.
Yes.
Yeah. For ourselves, for our families, for the people we have over. Man, do we need a reprieve in this world.
We do. It's not just a charging station. It's not just a place to change your clothes, charge your phone, and dash off to the next thing.
Stuart talked about this years ago when we first got married, about how home is the nucleus. Home is not the gas station. Okay. It's not where we just, we stop, we add gas to the tank and we keep going. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to revolve around the nucleus of home. That's how we've set our home up, because that's what feels like an oasis. That's reprieve. That's the way we feel like it should be structured for our family. So that means that things happen here. And, you know, when you do get structured like that, again, all of us are living different ways. But when something like COVID happened, for us, life carried on very much business as usual, because so much of our life already centered around home. Home was the point.
Mm-hmm.
It was the purpose. And look, we're homemakers. All of our homes are going to look different. They're going to function different. But home is sanctuary, regardless.
Right.
So, ooh, mentally, ooh. Angela, what helps you to rest? What helps you to create that sanctuary?
Well, I mentioned beautiful things, and we'll talk about that when we move into like decorating your space. But order is, my brain is soothed by order.
Yeah.
Order is my permission slip to stop. And that's my personality. That's the way I'm geared up. Order is like, it's a gift to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally have a hard time like just relaxing without order. And I like things clean. So mm-hmm. That's not always, you know, a luxury. That's not always how things can be. But that is something that helps me feel safe and peaceful and restful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are all good things. And look, homemaker, you're listening to this. You're setting your home up as a sanctuary. Maybe you've got a lot of this already dialed in and mm-hmm. you just want to refine it that much more. Maybe you're mm-hmm. just starting out. You're like, I never thought about home like that. I always thought about it like a gas station. Either way, I think it's a good exercise to actually sit down and write these things down. What helps me feel rested? And not just what helps me feel rested, but what actually spurs me on to productivity?
Right.
Because right. Work's not going to stop.
It's not going to. And what you don't want for your home is to be draining. If everybody's going to set their home up different from the design to the way it functions. And I think it's really important to know what helps you feel restful, what helps you feel like spurred onto productivity, because mm-hmm. it shouldn't be a place of feeling drained. When it's a place of feeling, I mean, I have a friend who struggled with this years ago. Her home was draining. She always wanted to escape. She always wanted to go out for coffee, go on a play date, get away from it because it was exhausting to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't have it set up. It was not a functioning space for her.
And
her
there's
family.
Different kinds of exhaustion, right? Like if you're right. exhausted because you have toddlers and you want to go out to coffee, I get
That's
it.
That's different, right? Of course. There's nothing like just actually just walking away from it for a few minutes. But I would encourage us all to not have that be our lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
that we need to get away from it. Like that's, you know, it happens. I remember that. Everybody get in the car. We're going for a drive.
Yeah.
Or we've got to get out of here.
I used to go to a coffee stand that was 45 minutes away because I could put the kids, like strap them into uh-huh. the car.
Containment. So
they were contained.
Contained.
Oftentimes they'd fall asleep. And mm-hmm. so I was like, I'm going to go spend an hour and a half going to get one coffee.
That's great. Oh my goodness. When you have small children, and I know so many of our people do, there's
yeah.
containment is a beautiful gift.
It really is. So we get that. Absolutely. But I think as we're posing this question, what facilitates what we want for us and our family? So last week we talked about meal planning and how mm-hmm. we get to hyper personalize the food that we eat to our dietary goals, to our dietary taste, to our family's palate. We get to do the same thing with our home. Now mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that your teenagers aren't going to put all their artwork all over the place or that you're not going to have to accommodate a Lego table. I'm not talking about building this Shangri-La of perfection.
No, no, okay? no.
We're not here to worship our spaces,
mm-hmm.
but we are here to facilitate for our families.
Yeah.
So what does your family need?
Right.
Yeah.
If you know, our family, like just a little tiny example is my family needs space. There's a lot of kids. A lot of them are still younger. We don't have a coffee table in the living room. We have a couple couches on the perimeter, and then it's a wide open space for rough and tumble and cartwheels and laying down and doing big giant piece puzzles on the floor. Or, you know, they build huge like mansions out of giant Uno cards. You know, we need space. That can't be a fussy space. We talk all the time in my design society about like making your home function for who your family is right now. You know, you brought in a Lego table to the living room because that's who the Elliots are right now. They weren't that 5 years ago. They won't be that 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. But that's how, you know, your boys probably feel really safe in that space. Here's a place where they can be creative. They can know their mess isn't going to frustrate mom, that this is a designated, this is what works for the family right now. So we have to look at what nurtures us as homemakers in our own space, because it's very important for us to stay encouraged and motivated, because this job is challenging and it is relentless and it is every day. And so we want, that's where sort of sometimes like the beauty comes in for us, because it keeps us motivated and feeling refreshed, but it also needs to be safe and creative and reflective of our family's needs and routine as well.
Absolutely. Before we get into that kind of decorating style and what that looks like and the functionality and beauty behind creating home as sanctuary, I'd like to thank Branch Basics for sponsoring today's episode. So we've introduced you to the idea of the starter kits and how Branch Basics sort of work if you've been a part of Homemaker Chic listeners for any amount of time. But I'm going to deep dive into a little bit that, because I think it's really important, not only because of how clean it is and how clean the ingredients are, but also because how cost effective it is. So you've heard me talk about the concentrate. This is our beautiful plant-based cleaner that's free of fragrances and preservatives and all the nasty toxins, of which there are many that are allowed in cleaning products, okay?
Goodness.
The concentrate comes in a close to a 34-ounce bottle. It's huge.
It's huge.
And just like it says, it's actually concentrated, but it's completely multi-purpose, eco-friendly, that's meant to be used for any cleaning job when it's diluted with water. Okay, so we're going to take that concentrate, flush it out with water. I was at Target the other day, and I saw a kind of a standard green cleaner. Mm-hmm. It was $9 a bottle.
Yes.
For one bottle!
Yeah, that's unbelievable. What does it take to make the Branch window cleaner? Is it one drop?
It's one drop.
One drop with water.
So you
for like what? Windex is what, $3.49, and it stinks and blech.
Yeah. And it's full of terrible chemicals.
Right.
So the idea is when you get a starter kit, so go to links.branchbasics.com/homemakerchicpodcast. Of course, there's a link to that on Instagram. There's a link to that below this video in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there and use the code HOMEMAKERCHIC, you get 15% off a starter kit. And starter kits are the way that you want to get started. You could do plastic bottles or glass bottles, but you'll get an all-purpose bottle. So this you fill, I'm going to guess, 97% with water, 3% with concentrate. The bathroom bottle is a little bit more concentrated.
So it's maybe the bathroom.
We fill that 90% with water and 10% with concentrate. The streak-free bottle, the window cleaner, I think you've 99.9% with water, one drop of cleaner concentrate. Even the foaming hand soap, I mean, I would guess maybe is like a 2 or 3% dilution. It's not very much at all. So whether you're doing laundry, mopping your floors, washing your windows, getting stains out of things, it doesn't matter. You can use this concentrate for all of it. And then the starter kits also come with what's called an oxygen boost. So a lot of us are familiar with this. This is what I use to kind of clean stains out of my kitchen sink or scrub my toilet a little bit more aggressively. So when you need kind of an all natural way to sort of tackle harder things like cleaning out your grout in your shower,
right?
That's where that oxygen boost comes in. This is also what I use in my laundry because I have boys and farm kids and they're disgusting. So,
oh yeah, I use it because we have such hard water. I can turn a white blouse gray in 4 days because our water is so minerally, which I know Shay doesn't understand. It's like you can see the silt coming out of the faucet. And we all know dishwasher cleaning products, dishwasher tabs are so incredibly toxic. They also have clean dishwasher tabs.
Yep.
I don't have a dishwasher, but if I did, I would be ecstatic about this. That's one of the reasons I don't have a dishwasher, because I was so disillusioned when I started reading up on how poisonous it is to operate one. Yeah. So, yay.
Links.branchbasics.com/homemakerchic podcast. Use the code homemakerchic for 15% off. Now is the time. We're spring cleaning. Go get you some.
Amen.
Okay. I want to talk about how we are reflected in our decorating.
Okay.
I feel like we've never been more aware. We've never had more free time to be able to explore these sorts of things as homemakers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many conveniences in this world, like a dishwasher, that like have made our life so much simpler, right? We've got free time. And I feel like we've spent a lot of that free time looking online and creating these fake fabricated ideas what home is supposed to look like, what right. home as sanctuary is supposed to look like. Like, I'm supposed to have just cushions all over the floor with a view of the Mediterranean from a stone terrace, please. Okay?
And it's,
that's home as sanctuary.
Yeah. And it's, I think for a lot... It's discouraging. It's the images we see are really sterile. No matter what their decorating style, they're very sterile. There's no kids' toys. There's no backpack in the corner. It's like this sort of this constant message of, I will never be able to attain that.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about the all white trend. I'm like, so what about the red Nikes that my kids wear?
Exactly.
Like,
I've always said, the minute a kid drops their backpack. But you know, for some people, like, that is soothing. Again, if their work environment's really overstimulating and that more neutral palette helps them decompress. I know when we, you know, at Halfway Farm, I painted all the walls white and I painted the floors white. I went from my super uber color palette, and life was so stressful and all the financial troubles. I just said, I need a change. I need things to feel clean for a couple years. I just need... And I still had all my loud colors, you know, but there was something for me about doing that soft white on the walls, the soft white on the floor. It helped my, that was appropriate for us. That was sanctuary for us for those 5 years.
Well, and that's ultimately the point, is like, how we decorate should reflect us. So homemakers, again, sit down. You've already asked yourself questions. What helps me rest? What spurs me on to productivity? What facilities do I need for myself or my family to function? Do I like stuff? Do I like minimal stuff?
Right.
Do I like a lot of stuff? Do I, like, I think about building a minimalist environment. My husband would be so uncomfortable. He needs it to feel like an English study, and it should smell like pipe smoke, and there should be stacks of Tolkien books on every facility that's available, and tweed blankets should be draped over every single chair. That, to him, makes him feel comfortable. So it's us, and it's also the people that live there with us. Like, what do we find comfortable? What do we find beautiful? Not what is the popular thing at the moment, or what does, you know, this magazine tell me is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think looking at your family's routine, looking at your family's hobbies, find out what colors are soothing for them. You know, is music playing constantly really important? Is low lighting in the evenings important? I'm really uncomfortable at someone's home when everything's just cranked in the evening. There's something. Now, my mom, on the other hand, it's too dark. My mom's like, let's sit in the darkness. You know, I like it. Soft lighting. I want this to feel like a special time. I want a glass of wine. I want music. I've got Edison bulbs in all my lamps because I like that yellow light as opposed to like that blue-white light. That's very important to me. That makes me feel like you know, last week we talked about meal planning and cleaning up the kitchen. The kitchen is clean. Now there's low lighting. There's a fire. There's this vibe. That's very peaceful. Vibe. That's very peaceful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a great question. When you're thinking about creating your home, not even just aesthetically, but just filling it with whatever it is that you're going to fill it with, I think a great question to pose to figure out what you actually need to do is, what makes me feel comfortable and what makes me feel safe?
Right. Yeah. What keeps me from feeling overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. Where do I get to just like mentally let go? It's not just about kicking your feet up. It's also about the mental aspect of,
right,
of letting go.
Okay, so personalizing home as sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Let's say that you're living in a non-permanent home. Okay? Mm-hmm. For the sake of discussion, what are things that you do to that space to make it feel like sanctuary? If it's not your ideal place, it's not your final resting place, mm-hmm. but it's just where you find yourself. The
rental.
First thing I
We're
think
renting.
Of
okay.
that you mentioned is lighting. Mm-hmm. To me, there's no more important aspect of making something feel safe and comfortable than proper lighting.
Mm-hmm. The as freelance designer, I would tell you lamps.
Lamps, exactly.
Lamps. Lamps, lamps, and more lamps. Lamps on the end tables, lamps on the kitchen counter, lamps on the back of the toilet, lamps, lamps, lamps.
And soft bulbs.
Right? Yes,
that
absolutely.
Soft, warm, that kind of emulate a candle. Lighting is crucial. Mm-hmm. Another one, and great, you can take it with you when you go, is textiles.
Right.
To me, like, textiles make me feel comfortable. And I like when people come over for them to feel like, oh, if I want an extra pillow, look, there's seven.
There's one
I
within
can just grab
reach.
One.
I keep a basket, mm-hmm. a basket. I keep a basket of plaid blankets in the living room. So no matter how many people are there, if you're cool, our house is cool.
Yep.
You can grab a blanket and it's there for the taking. Feel cozy. You know, when you're moving into a rental or when you're in a rental, again, depending on where you're coming from, that might just be a pause. Maybe it is restful for you just to not dive in. Maybe you just need to not think about those things. Maybe renter white is fine for you at that chapter in your life. And then other people are going to move into that space and go, okay, I have to have a little bit of my stamp on this, or I'm going to be miserable while I'm here. So there's so many things you can do, whether it's getting permission to paint, peel and stick wallpaper, if you're not comfortable drilling into the wall, because for curtains, repairing the wall when you leave, doing simple things like tension rods. Mm-hmm. 3M has a million wonderful ways that we can manipulate our spaces when we're decorating. Our options are not zero when renting, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And art.
Art.
I mean, we live in the age of the command strip, ladies.
Yeah.
Right? It's never too early to start. Speaking of hyper-personal, like the art that people find beautiful is hyper-personal.
Right.
And it's incredible what having an image that you find to be beautiful on the wall can do to make you feel at home. Maybe even better, it has a story behind it.
Maybe. And I think art's very important. I'm pretty passionate about having art on the walls.
The other thing I think about is fragrance. Mm-hmm. Smell. Like, when I had my very first apartment, I'd moved out of my parents' house. I was away at college living in this apartment, and I was sort of trying to figure out how to be a homemaker as an 18-year-old and to take care of the space. I would clean on Fridays. That was my day to sort of sweep through and vacuum and all the sorts of stuff. And this was when Febreze was like all the rage. Okay. This was like, it was the
I can't even walk down that aisle
at
the store.
I know. But I would Febreze the snot out of my apartment. Uh-huh. And to this day, if I smell it, I want to throw up. I'm just like, I can't. But I mean, I use much better things now. Mm-hmm. But I use like bergamot oil.
Mm-hmm.
When I mop my floors, I think it smells beautiful and it transforms a space. It's almost no input. And dang, if it doesn't make it feel like home.
Yes. I almost always have some sort of a simmer pot going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do, you know, whether it's lemon and rosemary and black peppercorns, yeah. Or, you know, our power was out for a significant amount of time. And, you know, it gets a little funky smelling trying mm-hmm. to maintain order. And so I just started a pot. I threw in some vanilla. I threw in some mm-hmm. cardamom. I threw like whatever, a few black peppercorns, whatever I could put in there. Almond extract, just anything. A bunch of like this melange of just stuff. And it just made the house smell good and cozy yep. and comforting because it was a really stressful time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think fragrances are really important.
They're whether so it's important.
A linen spray for your sheets or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of fragrances, we're going to take a second to say thank you to Homemaker Chic advertisers.
Speaking of sheets. Yeah, right? Speaking of linen sprays and sheets, if you need some new sheets, our beds are draped in American Blossom linens because they're fabulous, crisp sheets. This company has been making sheets for 5-star hotels for 125 years. And the American Blossom part is their domestic line. So talk about your home as an oasis. You don't need to escape to a hotel. They get softer mm-hmm. with every washing. I've had mine for years. They are so cozy and soft now, completely made in the United States, from the cotton to the spinning, the weaving, the sewing. And a gorgeous box that arrives on your doorstep if you're a girly girl like me and you like getting like perfume because you like the box, the packaging as much as the product. There are no shipping charges. They send you a treat of Georgia peach tea with your sheets. So you can dress your bed, sip your tea, and sleep in peace. These sheets are going to make you happy this spring. They have a 2-year happiness guarantee. Their generous sizing is incredible. So if you get frustrated with the fitted sheet creeping, there's no creeping, and you get 4 pillowcases instead of 2 with every king and queen set. We would like to treat you, along with American Blossom, to 20% off. Use the coupon code SPRINGCHIC20. Get your Georgia peach tea in a beautifully wrapped boxed extra pillowcases, 5-star quality hotel product. Visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Or simply click that red button on our Instagram page that says Sheets and use Spring Chic 20 at checkout.
We would also like to thank Tubes & Co. So fragrances have a place in our skincare and in our makeup. It's not one of those places. There are good fragrances and toxic fragrances. So we're very grateful for companies like Tubes & Co. that give us skincare and makeup without artificial fragrances and other toxic chemicals. So we're talking about simple, luxurious, natural skincare. If you think that natural skincare means you got to go to the health food store and smell like patchouli, that's not what we're talking about. Okay. You can go to tubesandco.com and use code HMC10 for 10% off. I would encourage you to go there and read the customer reviews.
Yes.
These are not paid actors. These are real Tubes and Co. customers that have a lot to say about these products and the benefits that they've seen in their skin because of them. So Emily uses ingredients like cold-pressed olive oil and organic grass-fed tallow, real ingredients without any chemicals, toxins, fillers, artificial colors, or artificial fragrances. All the products are made in the USA. They're all sustainable and fair trade with transparent and ethical sourcing so that you get to enjoy skincare without any hormone-disrupting toxins. And it doesn't just stop at skincare. So I wash my face with the charcoal bar every single day. I use the face primer and the glow serum every single day. But then on top of that, Emily has developed a line of wonderful makeup, foundations, mascaras, eyeshadows, bronzers, luminizers, all these beautiful things that you can use without any chemicals. So tubesandco.com and use the code HMC10 for 10% off.
Brilliant.
All right. So we've personalized our sanctuary. And now here's a hard question that I'm going to pose to homemakers, okay? Does our home function in a way that helps or hinders home as a sanctuary? What are the things that are going to get in our way? Okay? Mm. You can't count your kids. They have souls. I've said to Stuart before, I could be a really great homemaker if there wasn't anyone living here.
Right?
Easy, y'all are peasy. Cramping my style. I think, truthfully, what can get in a lot of homemakers' ways is the wrong amount of stuff for them. When you become actually burdened by mm-hmm. your stuff. Let me give you an mm-hmm. example.
Okay.
I feel so grateful for my home. It's a small little home. I have a root cellar underneath my kitchen. And because I run the cooking community out of here, there's a lot. I have to have a lot of plates. I've got a lot of different things for photographs and functionality. My root cellar was becoming an actual burden. Like I couldn't, every time I walked down there, I felt that, oh, I hate mm-hmm. this place. I hate coming down here. I hate what it's become. So I went and bought some plastic tubs, tried to consolidate, to clean up, to organize, and then donated a ton of beautiful stuff. Plates and things. I'm looking at this. I'm like, if I were to go to an antique store today and see this, I would buy it. But it had genuinely gotten to the point where I had become burdened by my things, and it had hindered mm-hmm. my feelings of that space.
Right. Yeah, I think it's really, you know, there's a lot of other areas in our life where we step back and we assess. Last week, we talked about assessing the menu. I think it's important within the home also to step back and go, who are we right now? Mm-hmm. So if you're a homeschool family like us, for example, who are we right now? What books need to go? What books, you know, we've got stacks and stacks and stacks of books. What books don't need to be a part of our life right now?
Yep.
Just as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Home can very easily get cluttered. Mm-hmm. And I use this word a lot, stale. You know, it just, when things feel stale, that is a great, if your home feels like this to you, open the windows, pull back the blinds, open the mm-hmm. doors, get some sort of candle or diffuser or simmer pot going.
Right. Something alive. Get a plant.
Get something alive.
Some flowers. Go cut down some branches. Put them in a ball jar. Whatever mm-hmm. it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Those are those little pieces of life. We did a YouTube video on this recently about adding life. So it's one of the reasons I love having cats. We have three indoor cats. Indoor, outdoor cats. They come mm-hmm. and go as they please. But I love walking into the living room that maybe nobody's been in that day, and there's a cat sleeping on the sofa. Because it feels like there's life there. It doesn't yes, feel it alive. Stale.
Mm-hmm. I have some sort of plant in every room of the house for that reason.
Yep.
Because there's something about having that pop of green, just knowing that something's alive.
Yeah.
It's really, really important to me. That makes me feel peaceful. That makes me feel like each room matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nothing, I think nobody
feels left over.
Kind of feel the same way. When you mm-hmm. walk into like a little bathroom, maybe you have a spot where a plant won't live. Mm-hmm. If you've got a little lamp in there, it feels like, oh, someone's here. Yeah. You know? I watched this documentary years ago where a woman was, I don't know, climbing some mountain in Scotland, right? And she gets lost. Okay. She's old. She's injured. And she's just walking, limping along, thinking she's going to die. And she sees this cottage over on the hill. And there's smoke coming out of the chimney. And there's mm-hmm. light in the window. And I hold on to that image a lot because that is sanctuary to me. That mm-hmm. cozy, comfortable, you're going to be safe here. There's mm-hmm. probably a pot of lamb stew on the stove and some soda bread in the oven. Like, let me pour you a dram of whiskey. Come on up to the fire. I got you. those pieces. Yeah, I think it's important to.
Yeah, sorry, we got a little.
No, it's okay. Go
delay.
Ahead.
To go think ahead. About like that, like what in the design society a few weeks ago, I challenged them. Every Monday we do a design challenge, an interior design challenge. So I introduce like a skill and say, now, okay, go and try this in your house. So this one was fun though. I said, what movies have inspired you in your own space? And then why would you deny yourself the aesthetics that you enjoy so much in that movie? Why would you deny that in your own space? How can you take, whether it's like the way a Diane Keaton movie is set is designed, because hers are always fabulous, or the cottage in The Holiday, like what have you seen and go, oh, I love that. Why would you deny yourself getting to experience that every day? How can you bring those touches into your own space? And I again, that is just contributing to this lack of needing to escape. Yep. Yes, a hotel is a wonderful place. Hotels are fabulous and decadent. But what makes us feel reprieve when we're there? And what can we do to have that in our own space? Do you need a little dorm fridge in your bedroom with a tablecloth on it? But you know, there's ice cream Pellegrino. And bubbly in there for you and your husband to sit down and watch Netflix in the evening. You know, what sort of treats can you have in your house so that it feels special, like you feel when you're away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that gets at kind of the point here is like, what makes it feel chaotic, disorganized, cluttered, stuffied,
stale.
What makes it feel beautiful? What makes it feel functional? Because I'll tell you, my house is rarely perfectly clean. I homeschool at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. You should see the amount of backpacks and lunchboxes and boots and pencils and books.
Scissors.
I mean, it's barbaric. But I have art on the walls. Have my espresso machine set up in the corner. I've got my wine rack and my wine glasses lined up. I've got pretty curtains that make me happy every time I walk by them. Mm-hmm. I usually have some sort of flower on the table. So I'm not looking at this perfectly presented room. I'm looking at a room that I find beautiful despite the actual like living that goes on there.
Right.
Because it's not just about being perfectly clean or perfectly organized. That ain't gonna fix it.
Yeah, I think a big takeaway from this episode is, yes, Pinterest is inspiring. Yes, social media images are inspiring. But you also want your real life home to be inspiring.
Yep. Eat good food, drink good wine, surround yourself with beautiful people, listen to good music. And surround yourself with things you find beautiful. It doesn't have to be too complicated. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us here on Homemaker Chic. Please share this episode with your sister, with your friend, with your mom, if she's needing a little bit of encouragement in creating her home as a sanctuary. And of course, follow us over on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast. See you back here next week.
Everything you need there. See you next week.
Cheers.